Good morning. Are we here? Okay, there we go. Good morning, everybody. Come on in. Welcome to Wasilla Church this morning. Okay, wow. Welcome to Wasilla Church this morning. Come on in. We're going to go ahead and get started. Do you need more than that? You need more time? Okay. God, we just thank you so much that we can be here this morning. We thank you for the time that we have. We thank you for the time that you give us this time to set apart, to celebrate who you are, to hear from you, to hear your heart. God, may we respond in humility, in obedience, and in celebration to who you are. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you stand and worship with us?
People shout, yeah. He reigns in righteousness. Let the heavens be glad, let the earth rejoice. The Lord reigns, let the people clap their hands. Angels shout, the deep dark come to dance. Just celebrate, he reigns. The Lord reigns, the Lord reigns, the Lord reigns.
Shout, we're gonna get ready to shout.
I'm very glad you're here. Drumming is helpful.
Our God will reign forever, and all the chance to say, Jesus, you are the only way, my Savior.
Father, we thank you for the truth of that song, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your Son to humble himself and to come as a baby. Lord, we thank you that he grew up, that he died on the cross for our sins. But it did not end there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, victorious over death itself. That is what we celebrate. We celebrate the goodness of who you are. No matter what our circumstances tell us, you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. We thank you for the love that you pour out over us every single day. Your mercies are new every day because of your Son. Because your Son tells you, I got that. I got that. I died for that. I died for him. I died for her. She is mine. He is mine. We thank you that we get to be invited to be your children. Not your friends, not your slaves, not your servants. But your children. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Cause you are good, good. Oh, 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 let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, he is my song. Cause you are good, good. Never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. Cause you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good.
Is holding on.
Oh, come behold the works of God, the nations at his feet. He breaks the bow and bends the spear and tells the wars to cease. Oh, mighty one of Israel, you are on our side. We walk by faith in God who burns the chariots with fire.
Every victory.
We thank you so much that you are the God who overcame. That you sent your Son to die for us. As Emily said before, we are not simply servants, although of course our heart is to serve you. We are your children. We are your children, God. You have carved our name in the palm of your hand. You collect our tears. You pray for us when we do not have words. You intercede. You forgive. You lead. You correct.
Thank you. Thank you. And for the promise, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Because of the word of the testimony, I just want to say something that God gave me about a week and a half ago. This is not a new verse, but it just really awakened in my heart and in my mind. I was looking through something, kind of reviewing some paperwork and pictures and that kind of thing, and I was struck immediately with kind of the frustration, the weight of what I was looking at, and just said in my head, I cannot do this again. I just can't. I can't do this again. And that's the thing that I say in my head a lot. And as soon as I said it, he just dropped. His mercies are new every morning, and he makes all things new. So even if I'm going through something that is really similar, even if I'm going through an ongoing struggle, he and his mercies are new every morning. I'm not doing it again. I'm doing it today in his presence and in his power and with his provision. So that is my testimony. Do we have anybody else? Anybody want to share something God gave you? I just want to make sure it's open. Yes? Tammy.
Run it back. We want to be able to hear. Hang on. We want to have you so we can hear you. Not just us, but like the people online.
Well, I'm really blessed this morning because I've been struggling with my knee, giving me a lot of pain the last weeks, and I have an issue with balance where I feel like I could fall over pretty easy. So I've had prayer for it, and I haven't been able to stand in a service all the way through for a long time, and when I do stand, I always have to stand like this with my belly touching the chair so I'm balanced, you know? Or else my legs have to be anchored somewhere. So, and I haven't been able to stand for a whole service. And so I've been seeking God for the healing of my knee and my balance. And this morning it hit me. I'm standing here worshiping the Lord. Free form, not touching, not attached to anything. I had such a good time. God is so kind to us.
Thank you. Is there anybody else? Maybe I should go up to the front. Sorry. Good. Anybody else? Just don't want to leave anybody out. We want to celebrate today. Good? Okay. Mark, you may begin.
Oh, thank you. There are chairs up here, my dear friends, right in the front row. And that's why I don't want to be preacher's friend. I'm glad you came up and just stand back there and go, which usually happens. So a couple weeks ago, I've been kind of sharing a little bit of things that have been going on in my other role as the chairman of our credentialing board, and just continue to be in prayer. I think things are changing in some ways and not in others, and I had one of the roughest meetings I've ever had in my life this week, and sitting in a place where people just aren't getting where I literally believe, what I know Father, where Father wants us to be as his children. And it really ties in where we're going this morning and continuing in our study in 1 John. And it was kind of, as I was sitting in that meeting and trying to keep my personal feelings out of the conversation, because having a position of some authority in this place and then having the situation where it's involving a dear friend of mine, it's really hard to separate those two, to go into a place and remove myself as a friend and try to enter in as... from a pastor's heart, but also in this other role. So just continue to be, I know that was really vague, I get it, but just being in prayer, because it's you know, other brothers and sisters who are really struggling, who are flat out violating the word of God, and it's causing a mess, which it always does when we violate the word of God and we think we can do things and we come attached to things that aren't ours to come attached to. You've always heard me say that I'm all about people being passionate about a ministry that you're involved with or whatever or in charge of. I love that. But when it switches from passion to ownership, then you have a problem. We don't own it. God owns it. Even right here like this morning, I don't own this church. I don't own all of you. I am a servant to you. God has called me to serve you and say what he wants me to say in the moment. But the day I come to the point where this is my church and you are my people, a little word my is a big deal because you're not my people. You're God's. And I know a lot of people are like, well, that's just words. A lot of preachers say that, right? But it's very important. Because even if you don't mean that intentionally, initially, over time, especially if you start having lots of growth and impact, it does become mine, right? And then we get really upside down. So just be in prayer. There's some serious things that are still coming up, and some of the things that, you know, you can walk into a situation and give your advice and your godly counsel, and then it's up to them whether they're going to do anything with it or not. So it really comes down to God changing their heart. We've done what we can, and then it's up to God to do the rest. And that's so easy to do, right? Just like, oh, just let God take care of it. So anyway, we are in 1 John this morning. Continuing on 1 John chapter 16, or not chapter 16. There are 16 chapters. I was talking to my sister-in-law this week, and their pastor started Romans years ago. And they talked about, when you joined the church, not what date it was, what chapter in the book of Romans you joined the church. That's how they determined how long you'd been there. So I'm just saying, I'm only 1 John, so if I did Romans, I'd be in the same place. So here we are in 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 16 this morning. 1 John 4:16, so we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So we have come to know. It's absolute knowledge. We throw that word around a lot. I know this, and I know that, but these people that are writing this and understand that we have come to know, and I believe as I read this and sat in this, I believe they come to know not just in their head, but in their heart. With every single ounce of their being, they know that God is loved to the very core of their existence, that they are loved. And this morning, that's where we have to be. We have to come to this place that we know to the very core of our existence that we are loved by God. But not get this, I think, over the years and over the history of church, when this whole idea of God is love and he is, we take that as God loves and so I can do whatever I want to. And that's not what Scripture teaches at all. And we can abide in this security that Father God loves us. That the love of God is with everything that we do. It's a commandment to be followed and lived out, is it not? We are called to love God with everything that we have. Anybody have an idea where that scripture is? You know, a little bit of test this morning. I'll give you a New Testament. It's actually found in lots of places, but three particular Gospels. Anybody know which ones? No? Okay, fine. I'll tell you. Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. So again, keeping this eye of this absolute knowledge that we are loved. Right? And here comes Jesus onto the scene. He's in his ministry here, and he has, again, as I'm always challenging, read everything in context, so we're going to kind of jump in the middle of a deal here. They just got, if you read up a couple of verses, starting in 22, which I'm not going to read through, the Sadducees are arguing about the resurrection, and then we won't get into all that this morning. But we drop down to verse 34 of chapter 22 of Matthew. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Isn't that just like church? Oh, he shut those guys up, so he's on our side. I think that's what they were thinking, but I won't kill her. All right. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Isn't that just like a lawyer? Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great commandment, the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law of the prophets. I am so glad that they broke it down to two commandments. Because if you look at any of the commandments, it all falls down into this. You know, you look, it doesn't matter. You look at the Ten Commandments, well, it keeps coming back to this. If you're loving God and loving your neighbor, you're not going to violate any of the Ten Commandments, right? Or the other hundreds of commandments that the Pharisees and them all memorized, right? But again, I'm always challenging you when you read, Jesus is quoting. He's not quoting stuff that he just knows because he's Jesus. He's quoting scripture. Anybody know what scripture he's quoting besides Bob? I know how he cheats. He's got this awesome Bible. He showed me when it gives us quote like that, like a lot of times you'll see if you have a cross-reference, which I'm always encouraging you to have a Bible with a cross-reference in it. His has it right below that verse where that verse is found in the Old Testament. Awesome. I love it.
I came clean last week.
Yeah, but to me, not to everybody. But anyway. But no, it's cool. So that's all I'm saying. So anybody know where that's found besides Bob? Where Jesus is quoting? He's actually quoting two different places.
I have the same Bible.
Oh, you have the same Bible. Well, that's cool. I'll take it. So what's the first place he's quoting from? Deuteronomy. What about the second one? What's that? No, the second one is Old Testament. The love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I have Leviticus, but it might be an Exodus too. So here, I'm testing you on the other right ones. All right. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to look at this one this morning. Because again, it's always, to me, it's always important to go and look at that as you're reading scripture. Don't just get, I mean, it's great to read it, but when you start, like Bob and I were talking this week, is like when you start cross-referencing, you'll look up and 4 hours have gone by because you've been chasing scripture back and forth and all around. It's like, man, and this ties in and that ties in, and it's like, it's really cool. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Again, keeping this idea of this loving God that we know. So so before I even start reading this, some of it is about knowledge, some of it is about teaching, some of it is about educating the next generation, and we'll see that here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, Israel, and be careful to do them. Here, I'm going to stop. Again, when you're reading through scripture, all these little things, because I think sometimes we can start reading through scripture and that's written to the children of Israel, and yes, it is. But I encourage you, as you read through scripture, put your name in that place. When it says, "Hear, O Israel," put your name in that place. So just kind of, I don't think we're taking anything out of context, right? So, "Hear, O Israel, and be careful to do them that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Man, driving home the point, pay attention. Memorize them. Teach your children these commandments. Because I think so often we think of these commandments as these, oh, they're restricting me about all the things I can't do. He's like, man, I'm telling you, if you do these things, look at all the blessings you're going to have. And you can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me I can't do these things. And you're just being mean and legalistic. And no, God's like, man, I'm the farthest away from legalism. Right? But the church, we have systematically, I think, like, right, we'll say we're going to take this truth of God and we're going to make it a rule. We just killed it. We just made it death. even though it's based in truth. So this whole we'll continue on here, but I just really want us to think, you know, like really drive this point home. And some of us are like, you know, our children are out of the house. Well, I got, you know, my grandson still running around. How am I pouring into him? He's living in my house. So that's my son's son, right? How am I pouring into him? They're being poured into right now back in that room. But that doesn't negate our responsibility, parents and grandparents, and adopted parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles in church, because all of you are part of that too, by the way. Y'all understand that, right? It's our job to raise the children that come into this church. Okay, just making sure y'all understand. All right? But I love it says, teach them diligently. When you shall walk, talk, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. I mean, he's getting really specific here, just like everywhere you go. I've had some of the greatest conversations with my sons walking around the block. Right? Because we're walking or sitting around a campfire. Man, that's the most, you know, I think therapists should have a campfire in their office. I guarantee you they'd hear a lot of stuff about their patients that I don't know what it is about fire, but it just brings it out. Right? It's like a truth serum or something. I don't know what it is. But, you know, so there's all these ways to do it. There's not, you know, God doesn't lock us into this one place. But, you know, the Jews, they had this frontlets. I mean, they took all this thing seriously. It is written on their doorposts. Right? And I don't know if everybody's seen Fiddler on the Roof. You know, they kiss their hand and touch the thing on the door. That's what that is. And there's probably a lot more of it I don't even understand. Right? But it was ingrained. I'm sure some of it became routine to them. But it can't ever become routine. When we're training these things, like, man, love the Lord your God with everything that you have shouldn't be routine. We should be able to say that over and over every single day to each other. It shouldn't be like, I've heard it already. You told me yesterday. Just like Devon was saying, it's new today. Because today you're going to need to be reminded of who God is in your life because of what you're going to face. Right? And I think that's why God's like, man, every single day, man, pay attention. Keep putting this out there. Verse 10, and when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build. Whew, I like that. All right. And houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, and then take care lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the houses of slavery. Is the Lord your God, you shall fear him, you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst, he is a jealous God. Lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you and destroy you from all the face of the earth. I think he's pretty serious about wanting us to love him with everything that we have. Because again, just these few verses here, and I understand, we understand the history of the Israelites. You know, they went into this land and they did those things. It's like, well, that's really fair. These people go in there and they take over all stuff. It's a blessing of God. Why? Because they followed what he asked them to do. Not initially. They kind of screwed up the first time, but they got it right after 40 years. I don't know about you. I've had those experiences where God's like, hey, do it this way. And no, okay, you can do it that way. I'll get you back here, but it's going to be this really circuitous route. And you can learn some really cool things, but you could have a really direct, short, traverse, straight line, you know, as the crow flies. But no, you want to take as the stubborn son meanders, right, you know. But, you know, we can look at this like, well, how does that apply to me? It's like, I haven't been given a house that, you know, I didn't build, and I haven't been given all this stuff. Really? We've been given so much, and I think that's the biggest part of our problem as American Christians. And I include myself in that. I'm not pointing fingers at you, I'm pointing fingers at myself. But it's like, and don't get me wrong, I like comfort and ease, but I think we're challenged to, like, beware of those that are ease in Zion, right? Be careful. I mean, I think having good and great things and having, you know, things that are going well, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but be careful that we don't forget where it comes from. Again, when we come back to this place, like I mentioned earlier, when we come to this place, this is my house, this is my stuff, this is my family, this is my church, this is my, we're in problem. Because I would rather, and I've been talking to people recently, we were talking about just things about like when we hold on to something so tightly, even if it's something that God has given us, he can't give us anymore because my hand is closed tight around that one thing. But if I hold everything in open hands, this is not my brilliance. I heard this from old preachers over the years, right? But if you hold our hands, our stuff in our hands like this, you go, I love you, and I'm going to trust you that you're going to, if you take it all away, cool. Now I got less stuff to worry about. Right? But if we hold people like that, that's a harder stuff. That's easy for most of us. So I don't care, take all our stuff. But people, that's a little harder. When we lose loved ones, even if they've lived a long life, that's still not an easy thing. With others we lost, you know, you lose, you know, people when they're young. You know, there's, you know, I remember, you know, Devon and I have lost two children to miscarriages. You know, lots of people have lost babies to miscarriages. That's, you know, how do we sit here and like, okay, God, I don't understand. Okay, I know you don't understand. But will you still love me? Will you still love me, and will you still love your neighbor, and will you still take these opportunities down the road to speak into others' lives? Because I know Devon has had opportunities to speak into others' lives about that particular thing. It's a devastating thing for ladies. And for us guys, it's like we don't connect to the baby until they're put in our hot little hands, our hot big hands, right? It doesn't matter. I've had three children, and they destroy me every single time. Especially the first one. But that's when dads connect. But moms connect the moment they know. And it's hard for us guys. We see really spiritual things, and they're right, but wrong timing. I've gotten so much trouble that way. Right, it's the right thing, but don't say it right now because that's not the right thing to say in this moment, even though it's truth. And I've done that with Devon countless times, and not just that, but other things. Like, right thing to say, but wrong timing. Just pay attention. But it's hard because then you question. It's like, God, do you really love me? You allowed that to happen, or you allowed whatever it is that we causes us to question God. But we keep coming back to this point. Do I know without a shadow of a doubt I am absolutely, positively loved by God? Because that's where it starts. It didn't start from me loving him first. It started with him loving me. And that's where this whole place here in Deuteronomy that Jesus is quoting in Matthew. And this lawyer's asking him. The lawyer knows the scripture. He knows the scripture Jesus is quoting. He's just trying to trip him up. And Jesus kind of takes him to task. And it's interesting because I always love to see what accounts kind of flow through the Gospels. And this particular account, and we're going to look at just really quickly here, because I think it's just interesting different things. So it's found in Mark as well, Mark chapter 12. Again, the same encounter. But each Gospel brings out just a little bit different thing to it. In Mark chapter 12, starting verse 28, and one of the scribes came when he heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said, he is one, and there is no other beside him. And to love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus saw that he had answered wisely. He said to him, you are not far away from the kingdom of God. And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions. So same encounter, Jesus quotes again, he quotes Deuteronomy and Leviticus, but he and the Pharisee paraphrases back to him what he just said, and Jesus said, you're really close to the kingdom of God, saying this to a lawyer, religious leader. I don't know how he handled that. What did he do with that? What did this guy walk away with? And then Luke 10, it's the same encounter, but it's interesting because it changes just a little bit. It's like, well, they're contradicting themselves. That's not the case. It's just bringing out different things, and I believe it just kind of gives us a whole picture. Because this one even changes it up a little bit even more, because this is really, again, what the lawyer is asking in verse 25 of Luke chapter 10. And behold, the lawyer stood up and put him to this test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Different question. What is it? Still the greatest commandment, right? Because to have eternal life, well, we have to love the Lord our God with all heart, soul, strength, and mind. But he asked the question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he says to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." But he, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" I love, so it's three accounts in the Gospels. They all are talking about the same thing, but each time it kind of reveals more about what the lawyer's about. Because as I read through those this week and was like listening to Father talk to me, he's like, "Yeah, when you ask the questions, where is your heart intent? Is your heart intent to love me, or is your heart intent to gain knowledge?" And again, knowledge isn't a bad thing. But from the place of knowing to the core of my existence goes beyond just head knowledge. And really, it goes beyond heart knowledge. I mean, it is the heart, but I mean, it's to the foundation of where I live. Because if it's not the foundation of where I live, then when I have those moments that come into my life that make me question, does God really love me? I keep coming back to that place, yes, he does, even though it doesn't appear so right now. These things that are going on in my life that doesn't feel very loving. Because I keep going back as a human father, if I had the power to fix all the things in my children's life, I probably would. And that's probably why I'm not God, because I would, you know, spoil them in lots of ways. But there's a lot of things in my mind that's like, okay, but I understand that, God, but I obviously don't understand how you love. I mean, I can understand it to the best of my ability and from the experiences that I've had with God as his son. But I'll never come to that place where I know totally what that love looks like. And we can try to grasp it. He tries to tell us, like, "Look, I gave you my son. I loved you when you still hated me." We have all those kinds of scriptures. He's trying to, like, "Look, I love you. I love you. I love you. And as much as I love you, I want you to love your neighbor like I love you." Wait a minute. And so this scripture was really for me this week as I sat in that, because I knew where I was, because I had all this from last week. And as I sat in that meeting on Tuesday, even as moments when I was so angry, and some of it was righteous anger, some of it was not so much. But my whole point was like, "All right, Father, but at the end of the day, is my goal about righteousness? Is my goal about that these people should do it the right way, even according to your way, not my way? But what is the goal? The goal is that my heart should be broken for those people who are living outside the will of God. That's what it should be at. And there's love. That's when I'm loving my neighbor as myself. Because I would want that same consideration. If I'm stuck in somewhere, I would love to have people keep banging away until I get it." Right. And so when I come to that place, it really checks where my heart is. Is my heart about hatred toward these people, or is it whatever it is? And hatred is a strong word. I haven't gotten to that point, but I'm just saying, but that irritation will lead there if I leave it. If I don't continue to keep coming back to this place of, man, I know the love that God has for me. I know that God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Man, I want to abide in that place. That sweet place of listening in the moment of like, okay, Father, in this situation when I'm dealing with these people that just aren't, and it's not my opinion, it's just like, man, this is not how God would have you live. At the end of the day, what is my motivation? Is it to showcase God's love or to make them change their behavior? If my heart is anything other than to showcase the love of God, then my heart is wrong. Even if I have lots of scripture to back up my thought process. So this morning, I want us to really just walk away this morning with, like, really know how much you are loved. And abide in that place with him is so uniquely and so connectedly, so when we have those kinds of moments, that we can speak in the right way. Because at the end of that meeting, it was a two-hour-long meeting, and there was one of their board members looked at Pastor Mike and I were sitting there just kind of listening and giving an opinion. She looked at it. She says, I want to hear from the two preachers, although we had talked throughout the time. And she looks right at me, and she goes, I'm talking to you. I'm like, I know. Right, but to sit in that moment and go, like, what do you want me to say, God? Because I can say a lot of things. But what do you want me to say? And then just say, I don't even remember what I said, but whatever, you know, God wanted me to say what I said in that moment, that was it. But if I didn't know that I was loved at that level, I wouldn't have been able to speak at that level because I would have spoken my own garbage that would have not helped anything at all. You are loved. Whoever abides in God. Man, whoever abides in that love abides in God, and God abides in him. We need to showcase that kind of love. Yes, my week was interesting, and it will continue to be so. The things that will continue to come up, even after all these current things are off my plate. When I'm getting angry about a situation, when I'm getting wound up about a situation, I guarantee you my heart is not right. Because I've forgotten that morning to be reminded that I need to love the Lord my God with everything. And if it's not everything every single day, then I need to get to a point and stop and right then and go, like, I need to make it about everything. And it will come out every single time. I'm not unique in this. I think all of us could come to that point where we're getting sideways of each other. We can all go back to that point of my heart's not right with God. That's not like I'm living in a big gross sin, but just that reminder of, like, man, if I'm operating in that place of love and I'm going to abide in that tight place with God, that's the natural outcome. But I think in the Gospels that bring that account out in Deuteronomy and Leviticus that I didn't read, all those things, go back and pour over them, read over them, because just continual reminder, 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 reminder. It's also called discipleship, by the way. We need to disciple each other, remind each other when we get that in that place. So this morning as we go into our prayer time, I would just pray that you would, I'm always saying, ask the Father what he wants to talk to you about. But do you know, but this morning I just want you to walk away, do you know to the very core of your existence that you're absolutely loved in the midst of what you're walking through? It's not about cleaning anything up. Just come to him as you are. And then we need to put that out on all the other people. Again, I've said this countless times, on all the other people that we come in contact with. And that's what's going to change. That's what's going to change everything. You want to change political climate? Change that. Change how we love. So let's go into our prayer time. Father God, as we just end this morning, it's just a simple prayer this morning, is that we're not like the lawyer when we come and ask questions. We can ask the questions and we can have, you know, we have the doubts and you deal with those with us. But Father, I pray that we don't ever come to you with our questions to justify ourselves. But where we're coming from a place of a pure heart, of really wanting to come into that place of connection, that place of abiding, that place of really trying to grasp new for that day, for that moment, what kind of love that we get from you that we're abiding in. And above all things, may we understand that and know to the core of our very existence, because when we operate from that place and we continue to be reminded, there's victory, there's power. And again this week, I just pray that you would give us opportunities to step into each other's worlds, because I know that's happening. But Father, more importantly, into a life that doesn't know who you are. And in a simple conversation, maybe we don't even bring up you at all in the conversation, but we are, just because you're living in and through our lives. May we change the atmosphere. May we plant a seed this week. And we thank you that you love us beyond our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.